God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. No one likes to talk about punishment. No one likes to receive punishment, and no one in their right mind wants to give out punishment. And so some people just assume, because that's true, that punishment is not right. It is in fact wrong. We should not be punished. We should not ever punish people. And yet, whether you like it or not, whether you think it's right or not, God has constructed a world in which you will be punished. And better to be guided early on by loving parents than to be punished by life and one's own wrong actions. You know, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible talks about God as a father. And the Bible quotes, actually, the book of Proverbs, where the Bible says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." In other words, like a good father, God chastens and even punishes his children, not because he hates them, but precisely because he loves them. And in Hebrews 12, when it quotes that proverb, it says we need to encourage people with this truth. We need to exhort them. Now, no chastening, Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, 11, "For the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You know, whenever my parents in some way inflicted pain on me to prevent me from hurting myself in a grander way in the future, they were doing me kindness. Now, do you think that God is not better than any parent you've ever known? Indeed, he is. And so in 2 Kings 25, when you read about the dissolution of the kingdom of Judah, God's own people, when you read about Jerusalem being sacked and the king's house and God's house being looted, and you read about the burning of Jerusalem and the leveling of the walls and all of this, and taking back prisoners and leaving only the poorest of the land in Jerusalem, when you read about that, you're very much aware that it was God's judgment. Now, here's something else you can become aware of if you're reading the story carefully, and that is that God gives grace even in judgment. As the prophet said, "In wrath, O God, remember mercy." In 2 Kings 25, you see God giving grace even in judgment in at least two instances in this story. The first is found in verse 24, where the Bible tells us that the appointed governor, his name was Gedaliah, he was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar. Gedaliah spoke to the people, and he said unto them, "Fear not to be the servants of the Chaldees. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you." He is echoing the words of his friend, the prophet Jeremiah, who in Jeremiah 29 said, "Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, if you're in Babylon as a captive, plant there and build there and marry there and prosper there and pray for the prosperity of that place, because that's where you are." And then he says, God says, "I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace, to give an expected end, that is the promise I have given you." In other words, even in God's judgment, God gave grace. The deposed king of Judah. The Bible tells us that the king of Babylon spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments. And he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life, and his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, that is of Babylon, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. What's happening here? What is happening is that even in God's judging of his people, he gives grace. Friend, I don't know if you're being judged by God. Just because you feel blue or because something's not going right does not mean that God is judging you. But there are times, and God will make it plain, when we know we've done wrong and we know that God is correcting us. When that happens, know that God is not doing that out of hatred for you. He is doing that out of love for you, because he wants to give you an expected end. He wants to guide you just as a good father would guide his child. So God gives grace and judgment, and that's a wonderful thing to remember. But let me ask you something. Is that the kind of grace you want? The Bible tells us that the king of Babylon gave the king of Judah an allowance. You know what that means? It means that he allowed him. It was predictable. It was safe. It was stable. And it was slavery. The world will give you an allowance. It will provide for you, but there's no freedom in that. Is that the kind of grace you want? Grace to receive something that is allowed you by a conquering pagan king? No, God gives grace and judgment, but there's a better kind of grace, and that's the grace that God gives to prevent judgment. Way back, and it's recorded in 2 Kings 24, verse 2, the Bible says that he sent the Chaldees and the Syrians and the Moabites and Ammonites, and he sent them against Judah to destroy it. Now catch this, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets. In other words, all this judgment came just as God's prophets had warned that it would. Now, the prophets had given a harsh warning, but that was God's grace. That was God's grace to prevent judgment. The king who conquered them spoke kindly to the king of Judah. That was God's grace in judgment. But here's the question. Look, prophets had given a harsh warning. The pagan king had given kind words and an allowance. And the question that remains then is this morning is, which kind of grace would you prefer? Kind words from a tyrant, or harsh words from a messenger of God to prevent God's judgment? Look, I don't know where you are. It may be that you're in the middle of some sort of judgment. It may be that you are conducting in some kind of rebellion that is going to result in God's judgment. I'm here to tell you there's grace in both of those. God gives grace both to prevent judgment, and God gives grace in judgment. But the wise person receives the earliest grace God gives. And that is not the grace to endure judgment, but the grace to live in such a way that it never comes.